Americans are durable. We take pride in hard work and high quality. American Giant makes durable, quality clothing right here in the USA. Because what we wear reflects who we are. When you buy American Giant, you're not just wearing the best clothes money can buy. You're helping keep jobs and pride in your own backyard. Premium clothing built to last decades, like it should. Get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code RIGHTHERE24.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I always like when we bring on guests right after I do a commercial for advanced hair and hair replacement, and then people always say, "You're bald. Don't you know you're bald?" Hey, I have a beautiful bald head. I'm comfortable with that. Dan Lanning, he's got a good head of hair. University of Oregon football coach, how you doing?
I'm so glad you said it, because I'm sitting here saying, wait a minute, what in the world? Come on, John. Like, what are we doing to plug for hair? Come on, man. But well, you did it to yourself. That's a great lesson there. Like, get yourself before somebody else can.
That's I did. I saw you coming, man. I knew you were going to take my legs out.
Bring it up. Yeah. I did it. Hey.
You got it. Hey, how was Thanksgiving for you? What did you get some family time at all? What was it like?
Yeah, we practiced in the morning, and then we had a meal there at the facility with our players. I had a high school friend in town and his wife and their kids. They came for the weekend to watch the game, and when we did Thanksgiving together, and it was good, man. It was the meal made it to the table a little late, and hopefully Sophia's not listening. I'm sure she's not. I grew up in the family where you kind of had Thanksgiving around lunch, right?
Yes,
like that,
yes.
Or you know, maybe one. Like you watch the parade in the morning, you watch some football games, but when football's playing, you're eating. Like our meal came out long after the football games were over. Like I want to say 8:45 is maybe my first bite of turkey at my house. Luckily that we had lunch at the facility, but we made it, and it was good. I got to hang out with family. It was a great day.
All right, so I know Anna's not listening, but I had to because I was dealing with an Asian side of the family. The very first Thanksgiving, they brought seafood to the house, and I was like, no, we don't do crab. We don't do seafood. We're not doing hot pot. Like this Thanksgiving is a turkey. I had to. Did you have any Asian food as part of your Thanksgiving?
We had, really the next day Sophia's family came in, and we definitely had some Asian cuisine here. Some like beef short rib stuff and set plia, some different Cambodian and dishes. It was good. It was great. I always love when her mom cooks. So,
we'll talk,
not your normal, yeah. You know, turkey Thanksgiving cuisine.
We'll talk some football in a second, but I got to ask you about signing day and recruiting, and it falls in the middle of all now this extended season that is getting longer and longer. How does that feel to you, as far as rhythm is going, when you have the signing day come kind of in the middle of, hey, you got a big game coming up?
I think I wouldn't say it was convenient, but if you can do it better than anybody else, then it works out. And, you know, recruiting is not like a one day. I think everybody watches it like signing day, and they're like, oh, look, they got these guys to jump and flip. And like, that's not really how it works. I mean, you recruit year round, and we have a great staff that puts a lot of effort into getting the best players here. And, you know, several of those guys that maybe seem like flips on signing day were guys that we felt really comfortable about, you know, 3 months ago or 4 months ago, but you got to battle all the way down to the end. And I'm really excited about the class that we brought in.
We had your 5-star Hawaiian Jaron Keawe Sagapolutele on yesterday. Oh, I got that. I got that all right, didn't I?
Well done.
And he said the same thing. He said that he talked to you every day over an extended period of time, and he was talking to your offensive coordinator for an extended period of time. So that is a long dance.
Yeah, we've been dating a while. Me and Jaron been dating for a while. So, it worked out. I'm really excited about him. You know, just told him at the end, man, follow your heart. Like, what's that telling you? Like, that doesn't lie to you. And if it's not us, then it's not us. But if it is, like, dang, man, what an opportunity, right, to go play at the University of Oregon and compete for, championships. Like, isn't that what you want to sign up for? So, and that sounds like that's what he wanted, so it worked out.
I am, I'm looking at these teams that are really good and separating, and you're one of them, but, I think, you have teams that have elite playmakers, and then you have difference-making depth within that. I think there's a problem there that nobody is talking about that you are navigating. I don't know if it's a problem, but when you have a lot of depth and a lot of guys who have a lot of stars, how do you keep those guys on the sideline that maybe aren't getting the reps they're used to getting as they're growing up? How do you keep those guys engaged and ready and happy?
Well, I think it's important as a coach, like your job is to make sure that you're creating growth in your program. And ultimately, the question I always ask our players is, do you feel like you're getting better at football? Because that's the part that matters. Like, are you getting better at football? And if you are, that means you'll be ready for your opportunity when it comes. And and not everybody's path is the same. It's going to look different. But I think as long as you're honest and really focused on development with your players, the rest kind of, everything else takes care of itself. And it doesn't always look the same. Everybody's going to be on a different journey. But our job is to try to go get the best players that we can possibly get, put them in the best position to be successful. Create great competition with our program. Like, I'm certainly convinced that some of our players have performed a lot better because there's other really good players at their position. They're like, okay, I got to go to work. And that's how it works, man. I want to work a little bit harder because of the coaches that are on our staff. And it's like, okay, I'm not going to let this guy show me up, right? And that's the challenge. And some people respond to that and some don't. But the ones that do, those are the guys you focus on, right?
You got to smash up a football helmet with a sledgehammer. Was that a catharsis? Was that a good feeling to smash up a helmet or smash something in general?
Yeah, I saw you said that word last week at some point, and I was like, "What's that? What's that mean?" By definition,
yeah.
Can you give it to me? Like catharsis? Can you give that one to me?
Well, it's a release where you're having a breakthrough, where you're getting relief from something. It's like you have these strong emotions inside of you that finally get to come out. Like, it's that moment where you strike that helmet with a sledgehammer and you're like, that feels good.
Yeah. I don't know if I felt that moment in that moment, but
right.
That night I probably felt that moment. Yeah. It's good. It's good to go up there and beat the team up north.
You're not the first Oregon coach to try to take a sledgehammer to a helmet. Did you know that?
I didn't. Talk to me.
All right. Mike Bellotti did it years ago. I'm going to say it was circa 2002, 2003. I'm dating myself now, but he tried to hit the helmet, and he hit it with the sledgehammer, and the helmet didn't break. It just shot like a watermelon seed across the locker room, and the players all had to scatter. Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna reach out to Bellotti. I'll find out exactly what happened.
But this is great. So Mike and I have talked. We talk a good amount, and he's always great. Like after games, I've always asked him, "Hey, watch it. Just tell me what you see. Doesn't mean I'm gonna agree with it, but let me know what you see. Not that I don't value your opinion, John, but right. I like to know
Thank
what
you.
Mike thinks.
Right.
Right. So he'll hit me, and I don't think it's a secret. We've struggled at times in the second half this year, and I was like, hey. Give me some thoughts, man. What have you done in the past? And again, sometimes I take it and say, thanks a lot, but I do really value coach's opinion. And he mentioned smashing stuff at halftime. And I was like, okay, so you think that's successful? And he goes, oh, yeah. I mean, I think you need to have him on and ask him about what kind of things did he smash at halftime? Because it sounds like, what's that comedian, Gallagher?
Gallagher,
like,
yeah.
It sounds like Bellotti was just in there just smashing stuff. I almost said a bad word. Smashing stuff right and left. And I said, okay. I mean, we haven't done it yet this year. So, maybe we should do it more. But I didn't know that he'd done helmets yet.
Yeah, he tried it. He tried it.
It wasn't successful. I don't know if you know this or not. I wasn't the one smashing the helmet. So I thought through it, and I was ready to smash the helmet. I was ready to roll. I had brought it up to, Marshall, our chief of staff, and a couple other people on our staff earlier in the week. I said, I think it's really important we start right the second half. I think this should be, it kind of fits our theme and some of the stuff we're talking about. So see if you can give me a helmet. And I was planning on it up until that day. And then, looking out my window, you know, there's this guy that I always see out there banging a sledgehammer on the tires. He's a workout warrior, and that's our strength coach, Wilson Love. Yeah. I was like, look, I could go in here, and I kind of pictured all those moments that you just talked about.
Right.
With body, like you're hitting something. And what if the helmet doesn't break? Like, that would be frustrating, right? Like, these helmets are strong nowadays. So I was like, hey, Wilson, I mean, how confident do you feel? He's like, coach, I got it. I can do that. And he did. I mean, that was some really successful smashing by Wilson. So best guy I've seen with a sledgehammer. You know, it was impressive. I wasn't wearing the helmet at the time.
I just found my notes on it from Bilotti. I wrote about this in 2018. I'm going to send it to you. But he tried in the pregame to smash a Stanford helmet with a sledgehammer, and it didn't work. It squirted out like a seed. And so it shot across the room. And then he also did it at halftime at another game. So I think you're right. I'm going to ask him what he was smashing up.
I'm telling you. This is going to make a great book. Yeah, great book.
Sounds like it.
Maybe it could turn into like a cookbook too, like something like, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's something here. We should do something with this.
All right, I'm on it. So, I had Gallagher on the show too once. Like I've had everybody on the show. Yeah, I had him on the show years ago. He came in studio. Like he showed up and hung out. Wow. And I realized in that moment, like, he made a career out of that watermelon and that hammer. Like, it was just, you know, it was it.
That was a hell of a comedian, but now we know that, I mean, he could have been an NFL football coach.
Yep,
right? Could have. This whole time.
Could have been. Yeah. All right, give me an idea. You're going into this game on Saturday. You're watching film at Penn State. They're very physical. You guys are physical. It feels like it'll be a tug of war at times. What do you see on film?
Yeah, I'm excited about this matchup. It's certainly a tough team to defend. They got, you know, great weapons on offense, you know, with their tight end and the running backs and their quarterback and, you know, physical team. And then I think their scheme's really unique. I don't think we've played anybody that does quite what they do on offense, you know, this season. So that's something else that kind of really sticks out to me. And then defensively, you know, they're relentless. They're a pressure-oriented team. They got great pass rushers. They got a great, great safety. They got some really talented players. So this will be a great matchup for us. We're certainly excited about it.
The playoff selection committee, everybody's bitching about it, bellyaching about it. Like, you guys seem like you're the only ones happy with them because, you know, every week you come out, you're at one, you probably don't even care because it doesn't matter. But, you know, as coaches go...
I've never watched it.
You haven't? You're the only person who hasn't.
No, I mean, like, that's on Tuesdays anyway, isn't it? Aren't we working on Tuesdays?
Yeah, it is. And it also, I happen to be on air at the time. And, you know, apologies to ESPN, but those guys are SEC honks. And so all they do is
they talk
about how great the SEC is. And, you know, to your face, they're going to tell you how great you are. But behind your back, they're going to tell you how much they love those SEC teams. You know that. You are in the SEC.
They pay the bills, right? I mean, doesn't the SEC pay their bills? I mean, who's their contract with? Is it ESPN's contract?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so that's how it works. Like, let's not pretend like it doesn't work different than that. But, you know, there's a secret to all that, John. Just win. Just win. They can't deny you if you just win. You can't complain if you just win. So, you know, if you lose three games, shame on you, right? If you lose two, shame on you, right? Win.
What did you learn at Georgia watching Kirby Smart and watching those Georgia teams kind of navigate a postseason?
Well, I mean, it's different now than it was then because, you know, at that point you were talking about, you know, say you want to go play in a championship game. You're talking about, okay, let's go win this bowl game, and then you're in the championship game. So it's a little bit longer path now than it was then. But, I mean, what I learned, I had the same things that created success in the football season create success, you know, in the postseason. There's an opportunity for a refresh there depending on time, and that's going to be a little bit different this year than there was in the past because these games are going to be a little bit closer together. But, you know, a chance to, you know, regroup, rehabilitate, all those things before you get into some of those bowl games. And then, you know, the other piece of that is that a lot of the fundamental technique that matters so early in the beginning of the season starts to fade at the end. And teams that don't play fundamentally sound, I'm talking about like tackle well and catch the ball well and block well, like that's what really shows up in these games. It's not as much about the wrinkles. It's really a lot about those details in postseason play.
Guys, you had Jordan Burch out on the field. You had Tez Johnson catching passes. Feels like this season, one of the benefits of a long season is you're getting some guys back.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Best version of us is a healthy version of us. And what's great is we've got, you know, some really talented players that have done a great job in their place. So I don't think you look at our team and say, oh, it looks completely different without those guys. But certainly we are a better team with them. So glad to have them back.
NIL world, there are some schools out there that are in some trouble where some players are saying, hey, we didn't get the money that we were promised. And even yesterday when I was talking to the quarterback who's committed to you guys, you know, I said, how did you navigate that as a family? Because you have somebody in your family who knows how to speak NIL, and, you know, how do you, or do you have to go hire somebody? And he says, well, we hired an agency. And as a coach, are you in the middle of that, or is that between the player and the agency and the collective at this point? Because it may change in a year or two.
Yeah. I'm certainly in the middle of it. You wear every hat, right? If you're going to go cook a meal, you want to, you know, buy the groceries, right? So, I mean, you're involved in every piece of that, and that's part of college football right now. That's the landscape that we can be in right now. So you have to navigate that, understand that, what it looks like, you know, for you and your team.
Your dad is going to Indianapolis. And I know this because he said, hey, what are you doing Saturday? He wants to get together and have coffee because he says, you know, my kid's going to be busy, game day stuff.
I know he didn't say that. My dad doesn't drink coffee.
Well, I'm getting coffee with him, so he's going to have
maybe Diet Coke or something. Yeah. Okay.
So we're going to sit down and, you know, at his hotel or whatever and just say for a hello. I enjoy him. You got a cool dad who can talk about a number of different things. His value system is great. He just, I got to say, of all the coaches that I've covered, I've never met a better dad who's, and I can see how proud he is of you.
Well, my dad's a stud. You know, fun fact, he just recently celebrated a birthday right there before Thanksgiving, November 27th. And do you know who he shares that birthday with?
No.
Bill Nye, the science guy. And my dad was a science teacher. Yeah. So, I don't know. That's kind of a big deal in our family. Pretty cool. Well, I've met Bill Nye, by the way. Do you remember Bill Nye?
Yeah, yeah. Coolest geek out there. Do you get...
For sure.
Because in the position you're in now, because I know, like, you got a chance to, you saw Michael Jordan at the championship game last year, Derek Jeter, and you get to see some cool
friends,
people.
Yeah.
Do you get starstruck? Do you have a moment where you're like,
sure.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I was just sitting here telling you about Bill Nye. Like, I don't know what I'd do if I saw Gallagher tomorrow. That'd be pretty cool. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Wow.
The thing at Gallagher was he was so much older than I remembered him. Like, because we remember him growing up and he had dark hair, and all of a sudden he was a gray-haired guy. And I was like, man, he needs to hang this up. Like, he, you know, it
so
was several.
Did he always have the skullet? Did he always have, like, the bald at the top, long hair on the sides?
He
that's
did.
The only version I remember.
Yep. It's to say he wore that hat. You know, he looked like he was delivering a paper or something. Like, he's a cartoon character. I don't know. Listen, I will see you in Indy. And I'm excited to see you guys play. I'll be with you throughout the postseason, but I appreciate you coming on and talking to our listeners, and congrats so far. Keep it going.
All right. I appreciate you, John. Have a good one.
No questions for me. No questions for me. Usually you get one in.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't really plan this out.
Nothing.
I'll get you next week.
Next
whenever
time.
I'm on next. I don't know when, okay. Whenever I'm on next, we'll link up.
All right, we'll talk to you later. There you go. Dan Lanning, Oregon coach, on his way. I have to check. See, I'm having coffee with Don Lanning Saturday morning. Well, apparently Don's not going to have coffee. Now, you heard it here first. Dan Lanning and the Ducks against Penn State. Tell me what you think the key to the game is, or what you're curious to find out. And if you're a Duck fan, are you going to the game? I kind of wonder, there are a couple of charters that are flying out to Indianapolis, and I wonder if the diehard Duck fans that usually travel to this kind of game are holding back going, hey, we're going to wait for the Rose Bowl, or hey, we're going to wait for the national semifinal, or hey, I want to be able to go to the championship game. How are you approaching that as a family? How far can this Oregon team go? I happen to think, I said it yesterday on the show, this is an Oregon team that can win it. And I've never felt that way before, that Like, I looked at Oregon in prior years in 2011 and 2015, and I thought, SEC team, they're up against Ohio State. If they win, it would be like a huge, it would be an upset, you know. This one doesn't feel like an upset to me. Like, you know, there are several teams, there's a handful of teams that I think can win it. Oregon's one of them. And you heard from Dan Lanning there, and I want you to tell me what you heard in his voice. He seems very comfortable. Him talking about smashing that Washington helmet. Oh, the Husky fans. Softy was so fired up about that. The Husky honks were fired up about Dan Lanning smashing that helmet or having someone smash the helmet at halftime. But that little tidbit he gave us about Mike Bellotti, come on, that's a good story. 503-417-7575. You tell me what you heard there. And if you're a Duck fan, I want to hear from you. Are you going to the game, not going to the game? Are you holding back? Give me your philosophy as it pertains to traveling to this game. You got the bald-faced truth. Leave it here.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.